secretary, "All right, Wesley." And the secretary tore the three leaves containing the writing from the tablet, handed the tablet back to the spirit, and the spirit took the tablet back to writing desk, placed it inside the desk and returned to the condition of invisibility, and the writing is placed as the commencement of the introduction. 290. A. During the seance, Mrs. McClung informed the circle and spirits that her time set apart for the seances was closed and that she should leave us the next day. And Dr. Reed responded with regretful feeling, as is his custom, when a friend, having been with us for several seances, is attending his or her closing seance. A messenger approaching a suppliant. 291. The figure in the attitude of prayer represents a spirit in a dark, lost, wandering condition, longing for the dreary night to pass away, and the other figure, the one above, represents a messenger spirit sent by some rescuing band of spirits to lead the suppliant to better conditions. Doubtless, however, this is to illustrate some message given, or to be given, which will be, or is self-explanatory, and we will be told or shown before the work closes, where it belongs. 292. At the Tuesday evening seance came Talleyrand the Frenchman, promising to be with us at our next meeting. 293. At this seance there was a peculiar phenomenon which Bessie suggested should be reported for the book. Wesley came forth so well made up as to be at once recognized, and while standing in view of the circle changed his appearance to that of another person, and this experiment was repeated to the satisfaction of the circle. Seance number 16, August 21, 1902. 294. After the opening exercises, Reed, on behalf of this spirit band, addressed Miss Keepers, her mother, Mrs. Keepers and Miss Rupright, who met with us the last time for the present. When persons have been with the circle at a number of sittings and are about to leave us for their distant homes, or nearby homes for that matter, the parting is made by the spirits, to be as realistic as the breaking of a family, to be scattered far from each other, and no one who ever attended these seances can ever fail to remember with what deep feeling Reed, Denton, Payne, or Wesley would bid them goodbye. Denton speaks. 295. Friends, we are assembled again for the purpose of trying to give to the world of mortals some little of something which, for their own good, they ought to know, and we hope that, for humanity's sake, our purpose will not be thwarted. Your world is a world of law, and the spirit world's is also a world of law, and that whether you be in the earth sphere or spirit world proper, you are under the dominion of law, of natural law, which is the law of your being, the same law throughout all spheres of existence. There is one law for all life, and each individuality is related to, and governed and controlled by that law, just as related to it by his degree of unfoldment or revolution. Early in the beginning of this work we set out evidence demonstrating the unity of the universe, and it is for the reason that a knowledge of this unity would make people better prepared to enter and pass through the various conditions that they must go through on their line of eternal unfoldment, that we are here at all, except that it is our own duty to fulfill. R. V. I. 671675. 296. We see so many thousands of earth people coming to this side without any knowledge, or even idea, of what awaits them, that it turns our attention to work out some way of more knowledge to mortals of what lies beyond. Do you know, friends, that not 1 minute passes but what also passes some one of earth to spirit life? Every day, every hour, every minute, and almost every second, we see them coming into a strange and to them, unknown country, and too, so many who have been told about future life, have been taught wrongfully. They do not find what they were told they would find here. They go groping about wanting to know of God, wanting to know of Jesus, wanting to find their Savior. 297. They never learned that God is on earth, as much as anywhere. That they could see God and hear His voice, the same on earth, as they ever could anywhere, as much an enthroned King, to be seen before, as after death. God is in everything, the lily of the valley, the buttercups and daisies. He shines in the twinkling stars, in the God of day, the Queen of night, and speaks in the wild tornado and is in the voice of the nightingale. God is law. God is spirit. When they tell you of a personal God that is omnipresent, there is something wrong with their vocabulary. Indeed, their vocabulary must be sadly deficient. And the spirit closed his bit of eloquence in exhortation and parting words for those of the circle who are to be with us no more, for a time at least. Immortality, 412, 298. Second effort on this theme by the Star Circle of Spirits through their amanuensis, the spirit Wesley Eber. In this writing are nearly 1100 words. The whole time of writing was nearly 2.5 minutes. The spirit was talking with various members of the circle while writing. The spirit stood in arena at writing desk till he had 3 pages written, then walked over to secretary and tore the 3 leaves from the tablet, gave them to the secretary, and the secretary declared aloud of the 3 pages of writing of over 90 words to the page. Then the spirit stood near to the secretary, fronting the circle, and wrote and talked, tearing each leaf from the tablet as the page was finished and handing the leaves to the secretary, one by one, to the last, then handed the tablet to the secretary, saying, "You, sir, may tear that leaf from the tablet and hand tablet back to me," which the secretary did, and the spirit went over to the writing desk, put tablet therein and assumed the condition of invisibility. 299. And when Wesley had written and gone, the artist came forth and in his usual, rapidly moving way, made a picture in common crayon, of some man's spirit whose name was not revealed, and this is the effort No. 8, of the artist in this series of seances. Experience Antoinette Francis Tauleron 300. Then there came forth one having the appearance of a woman of common size, dressed in white garment, and standing near to the secretary spoke in clear and distinct whisper, in good English, substantially as follows: A. I am Madame Tauleron. I belong to what you might call higher spheres, but am yet engaged in messenger work to lower conditions, and am now come down the shining highway bearing a little message to you, indicative of some of the activities among even higher intelligences in the great spirit world. 301. And first of all, I may tell you of an incident that, at one time, occurred in my line of work. As I was passing along in my messenger work, I met one who was just over. She was trying to find the heaven and persons thereof, as she had been taught on earth to expect after death. I tried to inform her that she was in the dark, and that trying to find her Savior would produce no light for her, for it was a vain search. She would never find him as she had expected, but as yet, she would not hear me. I could do naught but to leave her alone groping in the darkness until she should become more weary of that way. A. As she groped along and began to grow weary, she came to a rock and sat down upon the rock and rested there for a time. At length, arising, she undertook to go on. But the rock was in her way. She tried to pass by on either side of it, but could go on, neither to the right nor to the left of that rock. There was no way, only to go over that rock. And it was hard, almost impossible to get over that rock. It was a great stumbling block in the road she must travel. This was not the rock of truth, and though a rock of rest, it was an impassable barrier to her advance. She must go on. The road of retreat looked like impenetrable gloom. She must go on, for she was shut in by the rock ahead and the thicker gloom in all other directions. Then the rock must be removed, or she should have to eternally remain in solitary darkness. But she could not remove the rock alone, nor could she surmount it without someone to assist, and her promised and expected Savior was not at hand, and her soul, now all contrite, went out into the silence and gloom ready to be helped from whatever source, which made condition for a redeeming messenger to approach. B. She heard my voice in the distance, "Dear child, you are not alone. I will help you to remove the rock out of your way. Dear child, the rock in your way, your stumbling block, is the rock of superstition. You are calling from without to a personal Savior, that is your stumbling block that must be removed. You have a personal Savior, but that is within and not without you. You are on the wrong road looking for a Savior without. You must turn and hunt within, and there you will find your true Savior. Your salvation must come from within. Messengers can point to you the way, but you must travel that way yourself by virtue of your innate soul power. Let go of the superstition of an outward personal vicarious savior and the music of the universe will flow into your soul, and the stumbling blocks and gloom will flee away. And this troubled one moved on into the brightness of the spirit world. 302. And one word more as to our personal entertainment in the higher spheres. Our means of intellectual research are superior to yours. We reach out into physical as well as spiritual science. The advancement of people of Earth seems to us, but little, on the whole, from age to age. We endeavor to have as much of our attainments reach the Earth plane as the people there can assimilate. In the field of astronomy we reach out and from the hands of very ancient spirits, new planets and systems are unrolling. But it is in the field of electromagnetic conditions that advancing spirit scientists find a very great degree of interest and delight. Of course, very ancient spirits, many thousands of ages ago, passed over all these fertile intellectual and scientific fields, and the new traveler exclaims, "What wonderful things our forerunners must have known, and wonderful indeed to us!" And those ancient spirits, with their relatively infinite attainments, are reaching back, by messengers, their attainments to light the way of following pilgrims, and some of the glories and hidden mysteries of nature are thus, from age to age, transmitted to receptive minds of Earth. And this glorious one, after having tempered her speech so long to the slow movements of the secretary's pencil, passed again into invisible conditions, and some of the personal spirit friends of those about to leave the circle, who have been visiting with us, appear to them. Michael Servetus 303. Then a materialization came from the cabinet and spoke in rather low, oral tones, at first, but after a little effort talked in good, strong, but very tender and sympathetic oral speech, saying, dear friends, I am glad to meet you here. You live in a very beautiful, beautiful world, but not in a world all free from pain, and sickness, and sorrow, and sighing. I live in a gloriously beautiful world, a world of spirit, in which all is light, sickness, pain, distress, sorrow and sighing are all unknown, unfelt in spirit except a sympathetic feeling for those remaining in the low physical conditions. See? So many people wonder why it is that if any come, all cannot, or do not. They cannot take into consideration the necessary conditions, because they are ignorant of all such conditions. 304. When I was on earth I tried to lead the people just a little out of superstition. For this I was persecuted, was not considered a fit person to live on earth, and so finally, I experienced death. None of you know me. I have been here many years. I have been here more than four times as many years as the oldest of you have lived on earth. None of you know much of death, but you will know. You all must go, and some of you may go the road of persecution as did I. I was scorned and buffeted, and at last I died a martyr. I could not accept their God, and for that reason, I was taken by cruel, merciless hands, bound to the stake, and a slow fire put about me to force me to recant, but I was bound to go into the unknown with no lie upon my soul. What awful torture! The flames came creeping up my limbs, slowly burning the flesh away, and more fuel was added, and yet I could not accept their God. And higher came the flames till burning all about me. I was bound and could not move away, but even now I could not accept a God that would burn one of his own children till he would be dead. And when the last piece of wood was piled around me, I said, "It must be so. Go on, ye flames." And the flames came around me and I was burned at the stake. Not a cruel world that did it, but the people, in a wild religious frenzy, domineered by a merciless, tyrannical spirit. And although I was burned, I am glad now, that I met death in that way, for by that, and experience of others, I find it is better to be burned than to be buried. And so, from age to age, there have been martyrs leading on out of the darkness into better conditions for those who should come after, until today men and women of your world begin to ask, what lies in the great beyond? What is to become of me? Whither am I going? Until we have mediums, and what are they but martyrs? Opening up a channel to answer the question for all who want to know. See? We think we are given much useful matter here for the world, and hope it will, in the aggregate, do a great good. The books that have been put out have done good, more than you know, and will do more good, and we feel thankful to the martyrs of all ages that opposition to progress is being so softened and toned down as that it is possible that one may now think even in advance of this age, without suffering therefore, other than the obloquy of ostracism. Seance number 17, August 24, 1902, 305. After Dr. Reed opened the seance, expressed satisfaction of secretary's report of seance number 16, and gave instructions about reading reports hereafter, A. The artist came forth and in his usual manner, made a crayon drawing representing a woman, somewhat of Asiatic type, of physiognomy. And this is drawing number 26, and Wesley said that he learned the lady's name to be Charity, of brave hearts. Immortality. 1322, 306. The spirit, Wesley Abba, again appeared at the writing desk, took therefrom a tablet, and then stationed himself over near to the secretary, opened the tablet, and so held it in his left hand and with pencil in right hand began writing, saying, I suppose you would like to have me continue my theme, at this time, and when one page was written the spirit tore the leaf of writing from the tablet, asked Red Feather, who then had control of his medium, Mrs. Abba, to please hand that leaf to Mr. Simpson, which was done, then a second leaf was written on one side and torn out and in like manner, as the first, was given to Mr. Greenup, and next, to Dr. Sahas, then to Mrs. House and one to Mr. House, then one leaf to Mrs. Abba, then the spirit wrote upon and tore from the tablet three leaves, one at a time, and gave the three leaves to the secretary. And the whole writing was 10 pages and made part of the general introduction to this book. Seance number 18, August 28, 1902, 307. After the regular opening exercises, Dr. Reed spake of the contemplated magazine, requested that Mr. Spears be invited to rejoin the seances, and during this seance several of the guides seemed to second Reed's suggestions, among which, that so soon as conditions, on the mortal side be obtained suitable therefore, they would produce phenomena under more critical indubitable conditions. The principal preliminary would be to provide a home for the medium and a suitable seance room and cabinet paraphernalia. All to be finished in dark and red. The cabinet of the usual pattern, perhaps mostly wooden. Then the medium to be seated outside the cabinet in plain view of the circle and the slate writing. Picture and portrait work done principally on the inside of the cabinet, and for such and kindred phenomena as we now produce in these seances the medium in, and phenomena outside of the cabinet as now. Dr. Rea, of Los Angeles, California, was present as a visitor, Mrs. Greenup rejoins the circle. 308. The spirit Joshua Love, who was blind during his life on earth, dictates his experience to operator of the typewriter in words as follow, to wit, A. I have felt the pangs of physical blindness, yet, I am often told that the pangs of spiritual blindness are keener. On earth I never saw the sunshine on trees or flowers, knew not my mother's face, only through the sense of touch. I had not the advantages of those of today who are without sight. I had no books with raised letters, but I did have a good memory and a sunny, happy disposition. I love the woods and streams as dearly as those who could see. I so developed the sense of touch that in many ways, it served the instead of sight. B. Of all things about our home I think I liked the water wheel best. When the sky was clear, I used to go down near the water's edge and seat myself on a large, flat rock and listen to the music of the water, as it poured over the wheel. My sensitive nerves would warn me of an approaching storm far more readily than the eyesight of others. C. As I grew older I often saw images, but did not know that they were like myself, or others around me. If you do not know what a vast difference there is in seeing and feeling, bandage your eyes, and have some friend bring an object to you you have not seen, feel this over carefully, and you will be surprised to find what a difference there will be when you come to see with your eyes. When the winter days came I could not wander forth, as in summer. I tried to believe that, when heaven was reached, my sight would be given me, but strong as my faith was in other things, it deserted me in this. 309. Oh, bitter, heart-rending day, when my darling mother left me alone upon earth. You, who can see, will never know how I long to look upon her dead face. You can never know in what agony my trembling fingers traced the well-loved features for the last time. There were no photographs for me to gaze at by the hour. I must sit alone, without hearing the dearly loved voice, or feeling her dear face. No soul but mine can ever know the anguish of those few minutes by my mother's bier. Semicolon. They seem to me to be prolonged into years. 310. I said then, and I say now, that of all the crafts, or arts upon earth, that give to the blind the most pleasure, a carving and sculpture, what would I not have given for an image of my mother's face, and what would not any poor child give for the same under like conditions? Oh, you who are gifted in molding in clay, hunt out some poor, unfortunate, blind child, and each year, as a gift of love, mold for it some dearly beloved face. 311. When mother died I lost my dearest earthly friend. My father was kind but indifferent. He had grown so accustomed to seeing me groping around, day after day, that he forgot to sympathize with me. With no one to teach me, my store of knowledge grew smaller day by day. I learned to its fullest meaning the anguish of heartache. Day after day it would seem as if my heart would burst with pain, and in the last days upon earth, I could scarcely endure the excruciating pain. 312. How well I remember the day I entered spirit life. I could hear the hum of insects, and the hush of human sounds brought such a sense of relief. The watchers around me thought I was sleeping and left me alone. How glad I was to be alone and feel that I was gently floating out, I knew not where. To hear my mother's voice calling me, and to feel the touch of her well-loved hand, and, joy unspeakable, to see her. I could not believe that it was my mother until I passed my hands swiftly over her face, then I knew it was none but mother. "Where am I, mother?" I cried. "You are with me, in paradise," she replied. "It is just as you said, dear mother. My eyes have indeed been opened." Oh! Why did I doubt that this would be true? 313. Everything was new and strange to me, and I spent many days rejoicing in the sense of sight. I found, however, that there was work, and much of it, to be done in the spirit world, and as soon as I acquired sufficient knowledge, I began to lead those who were spiritually blind. In the 170 years I have been engaged in this work, I have led a score of spirits out of darkness. 314. Of all the mountains to surmount, I have found that more stand at the foot of Mount Remorse than at any other. It seems to require more courage and loving guidance to climb its rugged sides than any other that I know of. How I would be pleased to see the gift of clairvoyance developed in the blind, teach them to understand the greatest of nature's gifts. Signed, Joshua Lane. Perpetuity of Personality. 315. Denton speaking a few words to the question of Dr. Rearia: does the human spirit, at any time after its personality is established, assume any other than the human shape and contour? Said, that question is discussed in Rending the Veil. But I may repeat here that, when you pass into spirit life you there have the same shape, the same general contour, the same normal size, after maturity, that you would have had after maturity on earth, and you carry that normal condition wherever you are, on earth, in the lower, higher, or highest spheres. The shape, size and contour are determined by the spiritual atoms forming the spiritual personality, and this is continuous through all spheres. Thus your identity, once established, exists in continuity with your life existence, always remaining the same, being always composed of the same personal atoms. Immortality. 2230. 316. Then came Wesley as amanuensis for the Star Circle, and continued the dictation of the Star Circle band on the subject of immortality. Carried back to introduction. 317. Dictation to the secretary in whisper through the trumpet. After Wesley had gone away there came a lady spirit, in materialization, saying, "A. I am a messenger from higher spheres. I met a number in various conditions along the way. I met one who was in a low condition, and a number trying to reach her, and ere long, they will succeed. I find some who have only reached to the second sphere of conditions, and who do not know of any other until they are told by some rescuing messenger. B. I met a lady who had a little child with her, in the third sphere of conditions, and when I told her that I would give her assistance, she was glad. She had a husband on the spirit side before she came, and she was in search of him but could get no trace of him, could not learn his sphere. I told her that I would try to find him, and succeeded in locating him in the fourth sphere, and too far on for her to reach him now, but by and by, when she will have been away from earth conditions long enough, she could rise more rapidly, and ere long, by help of the innocent child, she and her husband would be reunited, and to the music of the spheres, her perennial marches age on age shall roll along. He entered spirit life in higher condition than she, because his was a purer life, on earth, than hers was, but by unrelenting efforts, she would reach him and in happy reunion. She thanked me. She looked to be bright and joyous, and the little one wanted to go, too, and I told the little one that I was a messenger for her, also, and would have her go to her father, and I told the child of some of the enticing scenes along the way, and she was so eager to go. Ethan Allen, 318. Or one very similar in appearance and speech, came forth, when the spirit messenger had gone away, and spoke, substantially as follows, to wit, in your world, in all material worlds, in spiritual realms, as well, in all the domain of nature there is, ever, one continuous change, everything revolving and evolving, step by step. All people, everywhere, and at all times, are going through changes. But changes in warfare extermination methods, executions by implements of war and otherwise, human torment and misery, and man's inhumanity to man have almost reached their limit, and a change in that regard must come. A. Changes in the spiritual realm are always tending toward a greater intellectuality, spirituality, and therefore, toward a greater philanthropy, leading away from the cesspools of Genesis towards conditions of the recognized universal brotherhood, where all purely selfish purposes are at an end, and each rejoices in the happy condition of every other. So, friends, changes are ever coming, but all under law, immutable, knowing the law, high intelligences can discern the inevitable changes that must be. Your faculties are not able, as yet, to determine the coming changes. Dwellers in higher realms are able, however, to determine, but the children of earth, on the earth plane, are not able to comprehend, even though revealed to them from the higher realms. But as the spiritual unfolds, conditions are better, and we can begin to show you that great discoveries, or revelations, for man's enlightenment will soon reach the earth from higher spheres, showing continuity of life, and when these conditions will have reached you, you will be past all debauchery, wickedness and cruelty, and sorrow and sighing will have flown away. Seance number 19, August 31st, 1902, 318 and 1/2. The minutes were passed by the circle, but when the medium was set and the seance opened, the spirit, Wesley, suggested to the secretary that in his writing, as reported, the word your, instead of our, should be used, and the minutes further corrected so as to say, slate writing, picture making and kindred work, should be done on inside while medium sits outside of cabinet, in view of the circle, but phenomena, such as here produced, should be with medium in, and phenomena outside of cabinet. 319. Immortality, 3043. By the spirit Wesley Eber, carried back to introduction band of Sweet Hope emblem blue anchor. Dr. Reed relates his interview with a messenger 320. We are constantly upon the lookout for desirable matter for our seances. We desire to give to the world that which will be as the guiding star to lead them out of the darkened conditions that have been thrown about them so many centuries. We hope to give something that will lead them out of the dark night of superstition into the clear light of day. I meet with many strange experiences while in quest of such information. 321. I think I shall tell you tonight, of a band of spirits called Sweet Hope. This band takes its name from its leader and has for its emblem, a blue anchor. I explained the nature of our work to the leader and asked if she would not tell me the mission of her band.